Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at what it means that Venus and Mars are just about to conjoin with each other in the sign of Leo, but they don't because Venus slows down and turns retrograde. This is sometimes referred to as a refrenation, or a time when two planets are about to connect in an aspect, but they don't because one of the two planets turns retrograde prior to their making that perfect aspect. And this has a variety of different symbolic divinatory meanings depending on context. So we're going to talk about three possible ways of interpreting this refrenation of Venus about to connect to Mars, but stopping, turning around, and going backward before it can. What might that mean for you based on your birth chart, or what might it mean broadly speaking on a symbolic level? That is our agenda for today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. As always, share your comments and reflections. That really helps the channel to grow. If you listen on any of the Spotify or Apple podcast platforms, it always helps if you give us a good review. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. I'm also, as you guys know, this week I'm promoting some friends of mine at Astrology Hub. So if you go over to astrologyhub.com, I want to just show you a service that I'm, well, everything. We had Amanda on this week, the founder of Astrology Hub. I wanted to introduce you guys to her and Astrology Hub because I think it's a great resource. A lot of my friends and colleagues work there. I believe them to be a very heart-centered place. And when you take a look at astrologyhub.com, we talked with Amanda about all the different readings and our courses and readings and their podcasts and their Inner Circle, which is a membership group that meets monthly throughout the year. All really cool things. I've taught as a part of that membership circle for them before. And at any rate, the one thing I want to turn you guys on to is their readings offering. I decided that this would be a good thing to promote this week because I get about a dozen emails a week at least from people saying, hey, I'd really love to sign up with a reading for a reading with you, but your wait time is about a year. And as I say, like, I like to think that's because I'm good at what I do, but I get it. You don't want to wait a year. You know, okay, fair enough. So people ask me for referrals and it's like, well, you know, how do you refer someone? It's so personal, the type of astrologer that each person ought to work with, you know. I like Astrologer Connect, which you can navigate to if you go onto the readings page at astrologyhub.com, because they have a whole staff of astrologers, many of whom I know, some of whom have taught and studied here at Nightlight. And this is a really good place if you are like, hey, I need something sooner than what, you know, Adam has available. You can check out their staff of astrologers, learn about any of them individually. And if you click on get matched with your astrologer now, you can actually take a quiz that helps match you up with an astrologer. And Astrology Hub is also giving my audience through the end of July a discount of 15% off if you book a reading with them and use the promo code AC10ADAM. And you get 15% off if you book by the end of July. If you also go and check out their Inner Circle through their membership, there is a promo code in the description of this video in the comments section if you want to sign up for their monthly Inner Circle, which features a new astrologer every month walking you through the astrology of the month. I've taught in that Inner Circle before, and I think it's a really cool program. If you go to the membership page, you can sign up for that. And there's a promo code in the description of this video for that one as well. Anyway, I hope you guys will check that out, and I hope that you find it to be a useful resource and that you enjoyed our talk with Amanda this week and that you'll find cool stuff on Astrology Hub. Let's take a look now at the real-time clock so that we can take a look at this refrenation and what it might mean. All right, let's go ahead. I'm going to put this up. There we go. Now, what will my pen's personality for the day be like? Let's see. Here we go. All right, so what we're looking at is what I want you guys to notice is this. Right now, what we're seeing in the sky is from Mars and Venus, we are seeing the two within about 3 degrees of one another, which is called an engagement in ancient astrology. That means that it's like the wedding ceremony has begun. And this is a really brutal picture I'm about to paint, but they're about to get together at the altar. And then all of a sudden what happens, and this would only be one possible symbolic meaning, guys, so don't freak out. But what happens is Venus leaves Mars at the altar. Because what happens is before they can meet, Venus is slowing down tremendously. So they're within 3 degrees, oh, they're about to meet. Mars changes signs and Venus moving toward Mars slows down and we're going to see it turn retrograde. So their connection almost happens, but doesn't, because Venus turns retrograde. Now, the question for us is, what does that mean? And how do you interpret that symbolically? How do you interpret Venus's refrenation? Well, one possible explanation would be just like the analogy that I just used. It's like Venus leaving Mars at the altar. A woman who says, I'm going to marry you to Mars, but then at the last second says, I've changed my mind. Now, of course, like probably 0.0001% of people out there will experience that manifestation exactly. You know what I mean? But like, it would be a very fitting picture of Venus and Mars about to get married, but then Venus says, for one reason or another, I've changed my mind. It reminds me of, Sex and the City. Wasn't there at the very, well, I shouldn't give it away, but I think that there was an altar scene where someone got left, and then it's a big back and forth around marriage. Anyway, sorry if I just, that's shitty of me. I probably just ruined it for some people. But anyway, if you haven't seen Sex and the City by now, like what rock are you living under? So, okay, anyway, so there's three possible refrenation meanings that I want to talk about. The number one is very, very basic, and it follows the pattern that I just laid out. And that is that something is almost coming together, but doesn't. And a lot of this will depend on looking at the whole sign house location of Leo in your birth chart. So just for fun, let's throw the chart back up, and I'll just whirl through and give you like stupid keywords, you know, for everyone. So let's just go, I'm just going to put this on Aries. So if you look at the location of Venus and Mars in the fifth house, okay, it's like, it's a pregnancy that almost happens, or you're like, we're going to try to get pregnant. Now it's not the right time. We'll try some other time. A simple fifth house example, or a creative project that you're going to start but doesn't come through. You turn it to Taurus and you get it in the fourth house. Maybe you're about to do something around home and family or property, and you've got the plans in place, you're about to do it, and then for some reason or another, the financing falls through, you just decide not to do it, right? So I'm just making things up, but in the third house, it might be something you're changing in your environment, you're getting close to finalizing something, or maybe you're thinking of going back to school, something very third housey, and then you decide not to do it. Same thing around money with Cancer rising, right? So you're looking, I'm just following it around. If you're Leo rising, something about yourself or your body that you're thinking of doing, but then you don't. It could be that for Virgo rising, there's something in the unconscious that almost comes up and presents a problem, but maybe thankfully in the 12th house, it doesn't. For Libra in the 11th house, something to do with friends or colleagues or groups, and something's about to manifest, but for one reason or another, it doesn't, right? So just play that game. Scorpio rising in the career house, something almost comes to fruition, but somehow doesn't at the last minute. And then Sagittarius, something around higher education, religion, travel, something coming together, but then it stops for some reason. Capricorn in the eighth, something you're working out with another person, some kind of asset or benefit or resource you share in with someone else, and it's coming to fruition. It's something they're going to give to you, or you're going to inherit from someone, but it doesn't happen. Something you're afraid of that you think is going to manifest, but doesn't. Eighth house stuff. Seventh house stuff, relationships, something that's about to manifest but doesn't. And that's Aquarius. And then Pisces in the sixth house, maybe something that could be like a challenge or a fight or maybe even a reconciliation. Sixth house, a place of conflict and hard work, something that's coming together but doesn't. So play that game in the same way with all of the other examples of possible refrenation meanings, and you'll get close to you'll get an idea of what topics are likely to be active through the refrenation. So let me just repeat. Number one would be anything that is about to happen, but somehow pauses at the last second and turns around and doesn't happen. Now that could be for the good or for the bad. It's pretty subjective. And there's a lot of different people out there with lives that are, you know, looking very different. And the subject matters of the whole sign houses are really different. And the individual natures of the birth charts are, of course, very different as well. So when we think about just anything that's almost coming together but doesn't, that doesn't always mean a bad thing. You know, for example, it could be that there's, you know, Mars, Venus getting together, could be in the sign of Leo, could be that there's, let's go on to number two, because number two actually outlines this more specifically. The worst is avoided. Because Mars is a malefic and Venus is going to conjoin Mars, some ancient astrologers would say that Venus is about to run into something problematic or troublesome, some kind of conflict or injury or sickness or some kind of challenge or frustration or obstacle or hardship, something Mars-like, right? Mars being the god of challenges and frustration, things that we have to persevere and overcome, which isn't always a bad thing. Most of our life is made so meaningful because of those kinds of challenges. But imagine that Venus is heading towards something that's like danger, danger, but then right before it can literally bump into the danger, it stops and turns around. In which case, the refrenation, similar to something almost coming together, but not coming together, like an agreement that falls apart at the last second, you can turn that same meaning to say that the worst is avoided because Venus isn't running into a malefic and is turning backward. Now, a malefic, we mean that when we say malefic in ancient astrology, we mean that functionally. Mars is a god and was thought of as divine, and all of the planetary meanings were thought of as perfect and divine. But in the way we experience them here on Earth, Mars is often a divine energy that we experience as frustration. Well, it's frustrating as we grow. Like I look at my little, I remember, you know, my kids when they were learning to walk, it was frustrating for them at times, but also like joyful to persevere and overcome and learn how to walk. It's like, that's life. So Mars is, we should take that meaning malefic functionally and not absolutely. But the point is that when Venus is about to hit Mars, but refrains and turns around, that could very well mean that the worst or something challenging is avoided because of some insight or some hit that we ought to take a different approach or something like that. So this could be actually a very positive and helpful thing. And again, look at the whole sign house where Leo lands in your birth chart to get a feel for where something is trying to come together, but maybe it's not the right time, or maybe it's not going to quite work out, or something kind of challenging is coming up, but you're actually going to be able to sidestep it, take a different approach that avoids something more challenging. So different ways of looking at the same phenomenon symbolically. And number three would be that something is proposed and or but it requires a Venusian transformation first. For example, Venus and Mars coming together might be the plan to, maybe like it's in your second or your 10th house, and it's a financial or business related project or plan that you're thinking of. And you go, you know what, before we can be ready to implement that plan or take on that project at work, which could be very lucrative or positive, we have to kind of clean up this other area, or we have to almost like we have to, some preparation needs to occur before this other plan can happen. So another way of thinking about it is that Venus and Mars coming together is like a proposition. It's like, hey, this, what about this? And Venus says, yes, but before I can actually join with you, because eventually they will join, right? Eventually, a long time down the road, their synodic cycle will reset and they will get together. In fact, let me just show you how that happens. And it's a long ways down the road, but it's interesting that they are so close to the reset of a synodic cycle, and yet it's going to take some time. So if we take this forward, actually, I'm going to eliminate everything from our view except for Venus and Mars. All right, here, let's do this. All right, so here they are, and it's like, oh, we were just about to get together, but we can't. Well, look at, Venus is going to catch up with Mars, and the two will conjoin in February. So you're talking about, you know, like almost half a year between their almost conjoining in Leo and their eventual conjoining in the opposite sign of Aquarius. So imagine that you're about to start a new cycle, but right before you can start that new cycle, plant that new seed, he says, well, pause. There's got to be this whole process of redoing something, and then we'll get back together in the opposite sign of Aquarius, and we'll do so, you know, in February, 6 months from now, right? So that's what we're trying to get at here in this little demonstration. You could almost also look at the Leo Aquarius axis of your chart and think what's being proposed or what's being worked on here in this area of the chart, the Leo area, is leading to an eventual synthesis in the Aquarius area of the chart in, say, the new year, in February of 24. That's really profound. There's something really special that's taking place, and it's part of a longer term plan. So in other words, something is being proposed, a new cycle is being envisioned in Leo, but before it can happen, it's like, oh, pause, Venus has to go through this whole transformation in that Leo area of life, and then it'll move forward and eventually it'll catch up with Mars. And where? In the polar opposite sign of Aquarius. I wonder about those themes. Are we working on something that is about heart-centeredness, that's about our individual sense of happiness and fulfillment and purpose, only so that later we can find fulfillment or manifestation in a place that's more about the collective, that's more social, or that is more about communities of people or collectives versus, you know, the individual, which is such a simple part of the Leo Aquarius dichotomy. But it's interesting to consider that that could be a part of like a broad way of understanding what is being proposed in Leo that will be fulfilled in Aquarius in February. So again, just to reiterate, we have three possible refrenation, meaning something is almost going to come together, but it doesn't. It's like being left at the altar or something that can't quite work itself out. Number two would be the worst is avoided. Something that's about to happen that maybe wasn't ideal is going to be paused and you're going to take a step back. And maybe that's a great thing. Or on the other hand, something is being proposed. The beginning of a new cycle is almost at hand. But first, Venus has to go through a transformation of the material in that sign of Leo before finally meeting with Mars in February in Aquarius. Really interesting to look at the upcoming Venus retrograde cycle in light of the refrenation of Venus from Mars. So I hope that you find this a useful exercise. At least also you can familiarize yourself with the concept of refrenation so that if you ever see two planets that are about to come together, but Mercury retrogrades before it can aspect Saturn or Jupiter or something, you're like, oh, that's interesting. These two planets are about to do something, but then one turns the other direction. These same meanings would apply. And you could look carefully, depending on the context of who you're talking to or what you're looking at in your own life, refrenation will almost always show up and it'll give one of these specific meanings because the context will sort of dictate the way that refrenation is showing up and expressing itself. So anyway, hope you guys are having a great day today. And if you guys have any comments or questions you want to leave, feel free to drop those in the chat box. As you guys know, it really helps the channel to grow. And again, if you want, you can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com. Well, I hope you guys are having a good one and we will see you again tomorrow. Bye, everyone.